We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to another episode of In the Know. Mason, my man, how have you been doing? How is your interest level in the Pelicans these days?
now that all the consistent news cycles have kind of dissipated regarding Anthony Davis and the team, and now not necessarily the team, but now we got Jrue Holiday hitting all of his performance incentives and instantly having a mysterious injury for 7 to 10 days. Just incredible coincidence there.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, Danny Ferry let it be known that this is a real injury and they aren't just sitting in for no reason. But I do think at the same time, if they were in playoff contention, he would be playing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, and I think that's totally fair. And I think Drew is more than happy to take a seat for a little bit with how much he's been playing this year. But yeah, I mean, it's been a little tougher. I had the Hawks game on last night, and I was making dinner, and I was just kind of like, I look up and like 5 minutes of game time had gone by like it was nothing, and like that's probably bad, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, I try to watch when the guys I care about are playing, and then kind of when guys like AD and Randle are just kind of playing ball hog and doing everything on offense, I'm just like kind of tuned out because I know what I'm watching at this point. I just kind of want to see, you know, when Frank Jackson goes off like he has been the past couple games. I want to make sure I catch that, but I'm not really super focused when other things are going on. If they've got the guys who, you know, I know may or may not even be here next season on the game. But anyway, that's me being a little bit candid on where we are in the season at this point. What about you?
Do you feel like this sort of general apathy that is kind of forming towards the Pelicans at the moment, not because people don't care about them, but right now it's a product that literally like very few people want to watch simply mm-hmm. because like for all the reasons that you mentioned, do you think this is something that's going to carry over into next season if they're not a good team? Or multiple seasons, do you think once we move AD, and let's say we get a package that's mostly young players, and obviously that you people are going to want to watch young players improve every single game, but if they're just not a good team, do you think many people are going to have the patience to stick around through that?
I do. I think people are excited about just the restart, and I think the apathy right now is just because we know what the fate of this team is, as far as the fact they still they're still playing AD 20 minutes a night, and people are just over it, I think. And you know, you have more of the local sense. You can probably speak to this a little bit better than I can. But I just think that with new blood and a team next year of a bunch of guys who you think may have a potential to be a new start of a new core, I think you might see some reinvigoration, so to speak. Even if the results aren't instantly much better and this team is suddenly competing for a playoff spot, I think there's still a path forward, and there's a vision, as opposed to this where it's just kind of like you're riding out the season, you know?
So like every time I feel like I have a pulse on what the local mood is towards the team, I'm surprised. This past weekend, I was at the movies. I was watching Captain Marvel, which, again, a great movie. And Ben, if you're listening, Winter Soldier sucks. So don't try to tell me Winter Soldier's better than Captain Marvel. It's not. But anywho, before the movies, I was in the restroom, and there was these two gentlemen talking about the Pelicans and how they've lost however many games that they've lost, and some of the words they were using, they're like, oh man, it's pathetic to keep losing these games. They got blown out by Toronto the other night. And first of all, I'm like, wow, there's people actually talking about the Pelicans in the bathroom. But two, it's like, what? Are you complaining that the Pelicans are losing right now? I mean, like, where are your expectations at? And they're like going on about how they should fire the coach, and they, you know, they did a good job firing the general manager and that kind of stuff. So it just blows you away that the low, like, the average fan, the one that's like not on Twitter, you know, genuinely expects this team to win. And when they don't do that, they just don't care.
Yeah. So that I feel like I understand part of that, but also I think some of that like fire the coach stuff is you're going to get that from any sort of casual fan in any sport. Like if the Saints, you know, after doing so well this year and last year, if they come out to a rough start and there's like they start 1-5 or 1-6, I mean, the masses are not going to come calling for Sean Payton's head, but you're going to have people like fire the coach. This team's talent level is way higher than what they're doing on the field. And that's the coach's fault. You know, it's the classic, if the team's underperforming, blame the coach. If they're overperforming, blame the players. And so, I think the point about casual fans just expecting their team to win because it's their team and they want them to win is a very fair point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think there is a reality that exists where despite exciting young new players, people aren't going to want to get behind the team until they truly build something that's sustainable. But mm-hmm. Guess we'll see. Kind of on that topic of building things that are sustainable, what is ownership doing?
Nothing. It's I was gonna make a joke about the fact that NFL free agency is kicking off, but people would take that the wrong way because I don't mean it at all. But they're kind of not doing much of anything right now, right?
Exactly. So it's been almost a full month since Demps has been fired. At that time, I wrote about how ownership could leverage Demps' firing into a couple of favorable situations. And really, you know, take the opportunity to turn the image that they've built up. But, you know, they're operating at their own pace, which is fine. They said they're going to use a search firm, which is fine. But you ask around, you know, people who are plugged in, they can't, like, no one even knows if they've hired a search firm yet. Because they certainly can't tell you what search firm it is. And it kind of begs the question is, like, why is there radio silence around the situation? You would think that, again, they fired Demps. They had an opportunity to be more front-facing, to be more transparent, to communicate to the fans and the media that, you know, these are the steps that we're taking and this is how serious we are. We have none of that so far.
Did the Lakers Just a question I just thought of. Did the Lakers give him air cover? Like, did the implosion of the Los Angeles Lakers this season make maybe play any role whatsoever in them feeling like they don't have to rush to make any sort of statement on where their state of the franchise is, because people are just reveling in the Lakers kind of tanking. And then and whenever they think it's appropriate, they'll come back with some information, because I feel like
that only works on a national level. Like, on a local level, I don't think people care.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think back to the whole Anthony Davis news cycle, and it was kind of, you know, ping pong back and forth, you know, both sides playing, you know, getting the story that they wanted to get out. And now that I know it's not as much of a national story anymore because trade lines passed and whatnot, and there's not really anything much else that can happen until the summer. But I feel like, yeah, maybe you're right. But I do feel like at least people locally are kind of anti-Lakers enough that they're enjoying what's going on, and maybe aren't pushing as much as maybe you and I are to get some new information on what's going on, what's the next step for the Pelicans from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all a distraction. I don't think that it's some sort of intentional play by the Pelicans that, oh, cool, the Lakers suck, so let's let's use that as a distraction to cover up our lack of action. I think it's just more status quo with the Pelicans. I think that the Pelicans had an opportunity for everyone to really, really rally behind Gale. And I don't think they've blown that opportunity. I just think that they could have taken certain steps, just like, you know, being more transparent, like, hey, this is a search firm we're hired, or, you know, it's been a month, so like a little bit of an update, like this is where we are in the process. Obviously, they don't owe anyone anything, but it's kind of this, you know, not letting people know. We had this experience, you know, a couple of years ago where it was after the season and Dell Demps never got a exit interview, and they're like, well, is this going to happen? When is he going to have his exit interview? When's Mickey going to sit down? What's going on? And no one knew. And so, like, the idea, just letting things sit out there allows people to create their own narratives, and then they go and get pissed. They're like, oh no, this is totally inaccurate, we're doing these things, you know. But it's like, you have every opportunity to show the world what you're doing, and you're choosing not to. And everyone wants to believe that they're going to change going forward. I want to believe that they're going to change going forward. And it's possible that none of this all matters, you know, whenever they hire the person and it ends up being a great hire. But there's a lot of talk of how ownership has really changed their course. There's been little tangible evidence on that actually happening. You think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess my follow-up question to you would be, what's the next thing you expect to hear from this team? Or what news is the next piece of information you would expect or think it would make sense to hear from the leadership in New Orleans?
A candidate list.
And who's that come from? I mean, that doesn't come from the Pelicans. That comes from who? Like Woj? Shams?
Sure. Yeah, they have every tool in the media at their disposal. They've shown over the past 2 months that they're very adept at using them. You know, even when Demps was fired, Woj was all about how, you know, Gale is doing this, Gale is doing that. Cool. I mean, they have Woj's number. They can leak it through him. They have Fletcher.
They do. That's true.
And
when he's not creating Blake Griffin trades.
Sure. And even if, okay, it's like you don't have a candidate list, then get us a search firm. Just like let us know where you are in the process. Like, how long does a search really take? First of all, do you need a search firm? It's not like this firm is going to dig up someone that you don't know about. You know, your list of GM candidates is finite, and the list of qualified candidates is finite, and I'm willing to bet 90% of them are going to come to you, because there's only 30 teams in basketball, 30 GM jobs. It's a very coveted position. So I'm unclear on what the search firm is supposed to turn up. it could just be that ownership and the brain trust is not very well versed in the NBA and they really do need a search firm. But it's like, I mean, like, I could pull together a list of 8 guys that the Pelicans should hire. Boom, pay me. But, yeah, I don't know. I want to see.
I feel like that's 2 podcasts in a row now. You've tried to throw your hat in the ring for a job.
Every podcast is me shooting my shot, Mason. Eventually, one day, someone's going to hear this, and they're going to be like, you know what? Let's give this guy a shot.
I respect it.
But, anywho, I'm waiting with the proverbial bated breath to see what happens.
Yeah, I think waiting is a kind of a theme for this podcast. We're talking about, you know, waiting for the team to really see what the next path forward is, both on the floor and from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, everyone is back in elementary school watching the clock, waiting for it to hit 3 or whatever, and waiting for the bell to ring so you just get on out of here and go home.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's waiting for summer to come.
Yeah. And not that summer vacation in this instance is going to be welcome in the sense that they're trading away. Actually, at this point, you know what? I feel like it is welcome. People are just fed up with the whole AD situation. So I'm not even going to say that it's not. But
cool.
But yeah. Anywho, so
I feel like this is a good spot for us to give us a little shout to our sponsors before we come back in with the next segment.
All right, guys, we've got an announcement to make. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich slathering shave gel, and travel blade cover. You get all of that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough with the cheap razors. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with the title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, multiple bracket guy. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best and then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code BLUEWIRE for 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back, everyone. So I've got a question here, and hopefully it's not an easy one for you, Schmidt, because if you have the Pelican stats page in front of you, it's going to be pretty easy. But I was just kind of cruising through the basketball reference page, and this one thing kind of jumped out at me, and I don't know if I would have guessed it. So the top three on the team, the Pelicans, in minutes played this year, Jrue Holiday, Julius Randle, Anthony Davis. I think that's pretty obvious. Who's fourth?
Damn. That's really hard. Is it Darius Miller?
It is.
Ha-ha.
And I guess, like, thinking about it long enough, it makes sense. But I feel like my gut answer, I wouldn't have been – like, my mind definitely did not jump to Darius Miller, you know?
I was trying to decide between Nico and Peyton, and I'm like, they just missed too many games.
You didn't even think about Etuan too. That's another thing.
Oh, wow. Wow. No, Etuan should have been the go-to guess. What am I thinking?
So Darius is ahead of Etuan by about...
Show you I don't like Etuan.
Darius is up by 85 minutes on Etuan. So Darius Miller's played about 200 less minutes than AD. He's at 1548 for the year. I was just kind of running down this list, and one of the things we wanted to go through, because I'm curious about how our answers may differ, but there are a lot of guys on this Pelicans team that either have 1 year left or are expiring. And I'm curious who you think is going to be on this team next year and who isn't. And so maybe, I don't know.
Okay, is this who I think or who I want?
Who you think is going to be on this team next year. So let's put AD and Drew off to the side. And because we realize AD is gone, we realize Drew's staying unless something insane happens. Let's start at the top. Julius, and I'm going top to bottom in minutes played currently. So Julius Randle, what's the likelihood he's a Pelican next year? I don't care about contract, if it's 1 year, 4 years. What do you think the odds are of him being on the team next year for any period of time?
I think there's a solid like 80-90% chance he's on the team again next year. I think there is a decent chance that he doesn't finish the year with the Pelicans, though.
Okay, that leads me to believe you think it's I know I didn't ask, but like a one or two. I know, and you know what, we talked about this in the last podcast, the kind of contract.
And look, if we get a GM and the first move that GM does after the AD trade is give Julius Randle a long-term deal, I'm becoming a Sonics fan. I'm dead serious. I'm just like, we've fumbled on that hiring if that situation happens. And It's just a rebuilding team should not be committing long-term money to mediocrity. Just,
yeah, I hear you.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. All right. I don't think I'm as high. I think it's closer to 50%. I feel like it's kind of a coin flip at this point. Just because Randall's gonna look for money elsewhere, and I feel like the Pelicans, like you said, and like Ryan said in his article that he put up like a week or so ago on Bourbon Street Shots, if he gets a solid 1 year big payout, offer like the Bulls gave Jabari Parker, I think it's definitely towards top of his list. But if someone throws like a silly Zach LaVine type offer out at Julius Randle, he's going to go and he's going to take that because why shouldn't he?
But I wish that team the best of luck.
Yeah. Right. Maybe it's the Bulls, but I don't think they'll do that.
I hope it's the Mavs.
That would be – I can't see that happening with Porzingis and Luka there.
Well, I mean, okay, so Porzingis at the five theoretically is a good fit with Randle because he stretches the floor and he protects the rim. So it's ideally, you know, like what you want in a big next to Randle, but let's just hope they can talk themselves into that.
Yeah, so I'll say it's around – I don't want to just say 50-50, but I'll say 55% that he's in New Orleans next year. But, yeah, I'm with you, and I would be surprised if he finishes out next year in New Orleans. So next is Darius Miller. What you think?
I think he's gone. I think there's a 10% chance he's in New Orleans next year.
Okay. You just think a team's going to overpay him?
No. I think he's going to get a minimum offer, and he's going to get a minimum offer from multiple teams. And I think perhaps at this point, it's in his best interest to get that minimum offer from a contender level team. I think it's going to be there just because he's a shooter. And I don't think he gets any long-term money. And only reason I see him staying is the Pelicans, again, extend that minimum, and he's really happy and comfortable with his life here. Doesn't feel like uprooting his family and decides to just gut it out.
Okay. I go a little higher that he's here next year. I do think that if he stays in New Orleans, it's for something around the minimum. I'd say like 20-25%, but I think there's a chance that he gets.
What kind of rights do we have on him?
So early bird for him. So I don't think it matters, to be honest.
Okay. I mean, like, we could probably give him a small raise on his existing salary.
Yeah.
I just don't see that. I mean, like, we brought Ian Clark back for the minimum, so I'm pretty sure we're not going to offer much unless we're trying to meet the salary floor for other purposes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think you can give him, I mean, through like Nonberg, you can give him 120%. So and he's making 2.2 this year. So you can give him like 2.65. That only matters if they're over the cap. And so, which I don't really think is going to be a consideration, but I don't know. I think I could see him getting like a room exception or like
4.4. No way.
Okay. No, not that much. I could see him getting more than the minimum elsewhere. And I don't know. If I'm him, I'm still trying to get as much money as I can. Like
a team that gives him a biennial.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of what I was going for. And like, I think, you know, he's 28. He doesn't make enough money in the NBA to be a guy who's going to go ring chasing. I think he's going to go where he'll either take, the biannual exception for, you know, and get 2 years out of it, or he'll try to take, maybe he'll take another 1 year minimum deal and with a team where he thinks he can get minutes and try to get one more contract that's maybe higher than minimum. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I tend to agree with you that he's the only way he's coming back to New Orleans is if he's taking a minimum deal with the Pelicans, I think, unless they're really looking to spend some salary cap space, but I don't think that's the move to do it on him. Okay. I feel like, so Etuan Moore is the next guy on the list. Yeah. And he obviously has 1 year left. So I guess that's a fair question. So does he start next season on the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think he's moved around the deadline or December. I don't think any team is trading anything for him this summer. His biggest value is as an expiring. And teams don't care too much about acquiring expirings in the summer, although we did see it this year with Kenneth Faried and Wilson Chandler going to the Nets and the Sixers respectively. But, I mean, it's got to be, like, a great deal for the Pelicans if he's moved in the summer.
I think it's a decent chance to move in the summer. I think there's a team out there or a few teams out there that if they miss on a couple guys they're trying to get this summer, he's a decently sized wing that can shoot.
Decently sized?
Like he's not a point guard size. He's 6'4", 6'5", which is like it's not a three, obviously, but
6'3", 6'4".
I'm
serious. No. Look at his height, like without shoes in the combine.
Okay, fine. So we're going without shoes. He's listed 6'4", like everywhere. I don't know. I mean, I feel like you can play him, and we've seen the Pelicans do it. I mean, not that they were successful defensively with him at the three, but they played him there. He's been one of the best three-point shooters in the league over the past few years. I could see a team trading for him over the summer and making him like, you know, your fifth starter or your first shooter off the bench, and you know, maybe a team that didn't get a guy or a couple guys that they were hoping to get. So,
I think they're giving him way more value than he has. I think he's going to be a straight-up salary dump. For some team is going to give their salary to us, and he's going to go help them with their cap.
Unless the Pelicans don't want to trade him at all because he's untradeable, right?
No, he's not untradeable. He'll be fine. I mean, I think, like, we're not going to just take shit salary for the sake of taking salary. Got to be like for a pick or for a good asset.
For sure.
Because, I mean, cap space the following year is not, insignificant. So that's whatever. I'm just over each one. So, you know, if we get a team that is ready to compete, he can stay. I don't care.
Fair enough. Next one I'm going to skip Well, I don't know if it's the next one is so sixth of the team in minutes this year is Frank Jackson, and there's a major drop off between five and six, by the way. So AD is at 1764, Darius Miller's at 1548, Etuan's 1463, Frank Jackson's 931. Just a massive drop off in minutes between five and six on the team. So obviously, I feel like we're both going to be in agreement that he's going to be on the Pelicans next year. But
I wouldn't hesitate to move him.
Okay, say a little more.
Not like you could get much out of it because he is right. Making like $0. But you know, if him plus Etuan was needed to make a trade work from a salary perspective, I wouldn't care.
Okay.
I prefer to keep him. I think he has potential. He's been playing well. I like him as a person, but it won't be heartbreaking if we traded him.
Yeah, so I agree with that last statement, but I don't see a scenario. I think this is similar to Ja in that I don't see any way that you get more for him in return than makes it worthwhile, because I think he's just, you know, he's still a flyer at this point, and I think he's shown enough to get another season out of him, and I don't think any other
team. Yeah, we give Diallo 3 years, so like I'm fine giving him his time. But I'm just, yeah, you know, thinking about it from a minutes perspective. There's a good chance that you just don't have minutes for him. Like, let's say you get Smart, Tatum. You know, that's your wing position. So you're starting Smart at the point guard, Drew at the two guard, Tatum at the wing. Still have Etuan on the roster. I mean, is Frank going to be your backup point guard? I don't know. Yikes. I don't want that. Again, like I like the idea of Frank. I think he can be good. Just going to be an awkward fit unless we move someone.
I don't know, man. I hear you in the sense that he shouldn't, like, I don't think you can give, he hasn't shown up to give this 20-year-old heavy minutes on a team that you're, when you're trying to win games, but at the same time, he's 20. And like, I feel like I've seen enough from him this season to make me want to keep him around. Like, I wouldn't trade him for a second round pick. Like,
no, I would, like I said, I mean, he's not something I'm trading for the sake of trading, but like, yeah. If a team called up, it's like, we're going to give you a first-round pick, and we need Etuan and we need Frank. And I'd be like, sure, take him.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that without thinking twice. unless it's like the Warriors' first-round pick. But like,
I'd probably still take it. I'd take a late first pick over Frank Jackson.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Hey, I mean, he was what, early second? He was like
31.
Top. Yeah, way early. Okay. Okay, well, moving on, next couple guys. Well, I got to ask you about this. So seven's Nico, but eight is Tim Frazier. You're bringing him back, right?
Yep. Sign him to the max. Timmy Frazier. No, for real, because there is a post today on Pelicans Reddit. Unpopular opinion. Tim Frazier wasn't as bad as everyone said he was.
No.
Let me read this.
Tim Frazier who posted this?
Could be. It's anonymous. So this is what the post says. I mean, yeah, he got us turnovers, and sure, he made some bad decisions on the court, but he was a baller at times. He knocked down threes pretty frequently. He was a dime dropper, too. I guess it's fair to say he was bad, but he wasn't that bad. I mean, I really don't want him back. I just feel like he has gotten a lot of undeserved heat when he was still with us. Cool story, AD, bro.
AD wrote that.
Yeah, definitely. It's the account name is Anthony Davis. Not Anthony Davis. No, I'm joking. That's not the account name. But, yes, we are bringing Tim Frazier back. Next question.
Fair enough. All right. Here's the one I'm most interested to hear your thoughts about, because I don't know. And it's hard to say, but it's so Elfrid Payton is next on the list when minutes played. And I feel like I've really liked watching him play in New Orleans. I would really love to keep him. But I don't know what he's going to demand on the market, because when he has played for New Orleans, I think he has increased his value relative to what it was before this season. I don't think that's controversial to say. But to what point, and what would you spend to keep him here?
The same amount of money he's making.
Okay.
I wouldn't pay him more than – I'd give him like a – so this is a max I'd be willing to give him. 2 years, $9 million.
Okay, that's fair. I like that. Do you think that he's going to get a richer deal elsewhere?
No. I don't see it. Most teams don't really – the teams that need point guards are, you know, like the Suns who gave up on him, the Magic who gave up on him, and the Bulls who – probably have better point guards in mind.
Yeah.
I don't see market for him. I think he likes being here. I think the fans like him. I think it's just a good situation.
I agree. Yeah.
And being honest, he's still young. So, like, you know, taking a small deal for a couple of years isn't going to hurt him too much. If you look at Darren Collison, he kind of did that. He bounced around the league between Indiana and Dallas. He had and I think he was with the Kings at one point, right?
I don't know. That sounds right.
Anywho, he bounced around the league and ended up with in a good situation in Indiana. I think Alfred might take a similar trajectory, but I think he'd prefer to be home.
Yeah, I hope you're right. So I'd like to see him another year. I'm not sure if I think I'd rather give him, like, kind of in the same vein of Julius Randle, like, I'd rather give him a little bit more money and give him 1 year than 2 for 9.
Two for nine, make it a team option. I love team options. Give team options to everyone.
Easier said than done, my friend. But, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
You don't have a choice, players. Take it or leave it.
Okay. So there's only a couple more, I think, that are worth talking about. Like, obviously, Kenrich, I think we expect him to stay, and hopefully he can take another step forward. Ja, again, team option for the minimum.
$50K guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a no-brainer of a deal to opt into.
Yep. Ian Clark, I think we can both agree, is gone.
Okay, here's a question.
Okay.
Is Ian Clark in the league next year?
That is a good question. I could see him go and play in the backcourt with Jimmer out in China. I could see that. maybe, but I mean, he's 27 and he is what he is at this point. He can't defend. He isn't even that good of a shooter. Somehow he's gotten this reputation for being a decent shooter, and he's really not.
No, he can't shoot.
Like, he's average, which, given all his deficiencies elsewhere, you got to be better than average, but. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a roster somewhere. I would be surprised if he's playing any minutes anywhere, but we'll see. I think we're both declining or not giving a qualifying offer to Stanley Johnson. I think that's pretty easy.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. So we've got two guys left.
There was other night when we were playing Toronto and Stanley Johnson was guarding OG Anunoby, and they're both wearing the jersey number 3. And it was like they both had their backs turned to us. They're both built the same, just like big bodies with like poofy hair. And they were both took turns like breaking threes one after another. And it was like a Spider-Man meme in real life. But I think OG is a little bit of a better player than Stanley.
I'd say so too. So we've got Bertans. I'm going to put on the back burner because we've seen him for roughly 6 minutes this year.
No, but, we need him for all the Latvian fans.
international market, baby.
So we got two guys left, Solomon Hill and Diallo. So first off, Solomon Hill, obviously he's under contract for next year. Odds he finishes out the year, or odds he starts the year in New Orleans, or is he like is he absolutely getting included in any Anthony Davis deal?
No, I think it'd be silly to include him in any Anthony Davis deal. I think there is a greater than even chance that Solomon Hill finishes the year as a Pelican.
Damn it, man. I agree with you. And I was, I thought we might not on this one, but yeah, I strongly agree with that because I don't think he's worth attaching anything to dump. I've been on that train for a while now.
No. The Pelicans are absolutely not going to attach anything. The only way I see him moving is if the Pelicans are getting something back. So like you're combining him with,
you need his salary.
Yeah. You need his salary. So, which is why I'm on the big, like, give Julius a big 1 year deal thing, because you already have Etuan at like $8.5 million, just over maybe. You have Solomon around 12.5. So, you know, between them, you have around $21 million in expirings. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a few other smaller minimum level contracts, or, you know, in the $2 to $3 million range to grease the wheels if you need to. And then if you have Julius, who would be somewhere between, ideally between 16 and 20, hopefully less, but I don't mind, you know, a $16 to $20 million deal for Julius for 1 year. You know, you can suddenly hit every single like salary range, and you can have like multiple different combinations. And it'd be cooler to have like some smaller, like around $5 million contracts, $7 million contracts. And maybe, you know, that's what you're getting at with Alfred. But just having that flexibility to literally take back any sort of junk from another team and acquire an asset, because I really do think the Pelicans should be in asset acquisition mode until, you know, unless a really solid player just becomes available and you do feel like you have a good team. And you feel like, you know, I think I said Otto Porter last time, and he's making an obscene amount of money, but something like that where you have like a younger player who is making quite a bit of money and the team would just like to get out of their contract, then you can acquire them to be as part of your core. And I've been talking to a couple of friends about this, and I want the Pelicans at some deadline. I think this is going to be a deadline move, and I think he's gettable, to go after Miles Turner. And I know he's having a really good year in Indiana. I still think he's the more movable guy there, and they would move him if they felt like they needed cap space, or if they felt like they needed they were getting the guy that would fit longer term. And I would love to have Miles Turner on this team. And, you know, if he signed a, what, 4-year, $80 million deal, something like that last year, so in the first year of his deal, they want to get out of the contract early, boom, send some of our people. Or, you know, if Orlando wants to get out of the Aaron Gordon contract early, boom, send some of those guys. That's when, you know, you want to acquire players that are actually going to help you win. But otherwise, you're just trying to take on crap contracts. And that may be, you know, like some of those Miami guys, like the James Johnson or Kelly Olynyk or whatever. But if you can get an asset out of it, yes, that's what the Pelicans should be doing.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big Miles Turner fan. I was so mad about I watching him at Texas. I feel like Rick Barnes used him so poorly, and I mean, I think it shows now how well he's playing in Indiana. I mean, he's a great fit for the new 3-point shooting big era. But so with them, it comes down to, I mean, Kent, do you think Turner or Sabonis is a front court that's viable together? Because right now they don't play together. I mean, Thad Young has been great, and I think really he's been undervalued his entire career, but he's been great for the Pacers. So it's not necessarily that they should be starting Sabonis, but I mean, if it depends on whether or not they think that those two guys can play together. And so I would love Miles Turner.
I mean, I think a lot of people feel like Sabonis is the better player. But Turner is really coming to his own on the defensive end.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't watch enough Indiana Pacers to know who I think the better long-term prospect is. But I think they're both good. I would love either one of those guys, but interesting names, particularly in Turner's case. Aaron Gordon. I feel like we heard a lot about him like the first couple weeks of the season, and then like pretty much
he might not actually be tradable, but I feel like he should be, just because I think Jonathan Isaac's coming along well, and he really should be the future at that position. And they can't keep playing Gordon at the three. It doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. But his contract is so darn good. It declines, and I think it's like final year of the contract is like $15 million, which is absurd considering what the cap is going to be at that time.
Yeah. All right, last guy, and we talked about him. I think we talked about him a little bit last podcast, but he continues to play decently well. He's putting up numbers, so check Diallo. So he has his qualifying offer for next year is, I think it's
1.9.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's around two, but I think you've got to do it at this point. Do you disagree?
Yeah, you know, like I think the previous podcast, I was like, nah, don't extend him the qualifying offer. But now, you know, why not? 1.9 is just such a small number.
Yeah.
So okay. Why not? I don't care. Keep him. He's a cool guy. He has fun. He's been playing really well. And I think he's really relishing in the freedom that he's allowed now that the Pelicans aren't really competing for the playoffs and AD isn't playing as much. So he's succeeding in that environment. But also, like, low-key, his defensive numbers are pretty good.
That's playing alongside – who's he been – I'm trying to remember. Who's been playing alongside them for the most part?
I feel like he plays with the garbage bench unit. They just put him in with, like, whoever. It's like, hey, you five, you play basketball, let's go. Get out there.
I'm with you. I think you extend the qualifying offer to him and see what happens. But I'm curious what kind of interest he'll generate to other teams based on. So probably. But
I mean, like, honestly, like, do you see him generating more than a min? I feel like there are always so many good minimum bigs available. I think there's always multiple bigs that go for around the min for under $5 million.
Even for guys as young and theoretically as raw as Diallo, where you could sell yourself on saying, hey, this guy's gotten better every year he's been in the league. We could turn him into something.
Noah Vonleh got the minimum. Nerlens Noel got the minimum. That was just last year.
Different cap environment, but sure. You've got a lot more money to throw.
I don't like the cap environment. No team's going to be like, hey, we better save space for Check.
No one's doing that.
Better use it.
I don't know. I largely agree. I just didn't know if there's a team out there that can sell themselves on the combination of athleticism and age and the fact
that you look at, like, even like guys like, you know, Joakim Noah's like revived his career in Memphis and Andrew Bogut's coming back. I think there's always going to be bigs that can play around his level that are gettable.
So you reminded me. So, you know, the Lakers signed 33-year-old Andre Ingram today as their marquee.
10-day best Ingram on the team. Actually, I shouldn't joke too much about Brandon Ingram. The DBT shit is really serious.
Yeah. So when I saw the alert come through for Shams' tweet on my phone, and I saw the Lakers sign and the start of his first name, and I was like, oh, God, they signed Andrew Bynum. Yes. Yes, this is perfect. I was just – something could be maybe
– utter catastrophe.
That was where my gut went when I saw them.
Today that, you know, the coaching staff pleaded with Magic and Rob to retain Brooke Lopez and Julius Randle, and they were like, nah, let's go get JaVale and Rondo and Lance. Fun times in La La Land.
Yeah. Man, but – Bynum's 31 years old. I thought he was way older than that. That number shocks me.
Well, yeah, because his knees are like 50 years old.
Man, the fact that my mind went to Andrew Bynum when I saw the first part of Andre Ingram's name, and the fact that not just that Bynum's actually younger than Ingram is, kind of mind-blowing. But, I guess that ship has sailed for Mr. Bynum, but that would have been I would have been real pumped about that one. That would have been just the perfect way to end the season for the Lakers.
High comedy.
Cool. Well,
all the players on the Pelicans roster.
that's unless you want to talk about the guy they just signed a few days ago, then that's pretty much it.
You're leaving out Trayvon Blewett.
Oh, that's a great point. He actually has 0 minutes for the Pelicans this year, which is why I missed him. Is there anything to really? I know he's been hurt, so which is kind of unfortunate because like this would be the perfect time to really throw him out there and get him some minutes.
I don't think he comes back. I don't know what his contract status is, but I can imagine the new GM just being like, I want two of my own projects there.
So you're saying that he blew it?
No, Mason. You're saying he blew it. I don't endorse this.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I think that's unless you think any guys at the Pelicans jettison this year have a chance of coming back. Like
Nico.
Nico's one.
Nico.
Who's another? Andrew Harrison. Wesley Johnson. And that is pretty much it. That's everyone who's played minutes for the Pels this year. Which, to be fair, this list –
bring you back Tim, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So as long as we're on the same page about that.
for sure. This list, though, is kind of like surprisingly short because we haven't run through a cycle of 10-day contracts.
You bring back Tim so he can't play with AD in his next stop.
That's just vindictive as hell, man.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of surprising, right? I mean, this list is usually 25 guys long for the Pelicans because between injuries and 10-day contracts to cycle through, a ton of guys get random-ass minutes all over the place. And now it's where the list is at. With Bertans, it's at 18. And who knows, it may end up staying there.
Is that the shortest list we've had in years?
That's what I'm saying, man. It's pretty short, all things considered. Because, that factors in trades too, right? I mean, you have a 15-man roster. And then a couple of guys you add via trade. And I think that this list is pretty short, which is – yeah, I think it's fairly surprising given the twists and turns of this season.
Yeah.
But anyway, we probably rambled on long enough, but we got a game tomorrow night against – we playing? Is it the Bucks?
Nico.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Nico, that's awesome.
It was supposed to be Nico bobblehead night. I wonder if they will still do it.
Oh, that's right. That was a prime tweet from Andrew Lopez. That was a pretty clutch find. I hope they're still doing it. That would be awesome.
Be great.
Yeah, I'd still put his bobblehead right there next to yours on my desk at work, and keep AD's off to the side. I would, even though Nico's not on the team anymore, I'd still do it.
You know, I was upset that I don't own a single Pelicans bobblehead, but now I'm not really that upset. I just want Drew's.
Reasonable. Yeah, that's what I made when I was home from Mardi Gras. I made sure I brought it back to Chicago with me. I still do have the the Nico chia pet thing that I – whatever the hell it is that grows the hair or whatever. I don't remember what that thing is, but it was a Bulls giveaway, and I had season tickets my, like, first year living in Chicago, and it just didn't. I think I tweeted out pictures of it before, but it did not come out very well. It was
a disaster. Nothing looked like a monster. Don't ever tweet that again.
It really did. But yeah, the bobbleheads are way lower maintenance, and I'm gonna stick with those instead. I looked to see if I had a Rajon Rondo bobblehead. I don't think I do. I like a Bulls one, but I could probably just give that away at this point.
Cool.
But anyway.
All right, well, all that right. Should do it. Thanks for listening, folks.